In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today's gospel is from John chapter 11, and as we heard, it's the story of Lazarus. And I think by now we know what the story is, so I won't get into it in detail. But the story basically goes like this, right? Lazarus dies, Jesus steps in, Lazarus is alive. Okay, I don't think St. John needed 45 verses to explain all that, but who's judging? Just kidding. But in all seriousness, I think the story mirrors our spiritual life in many ways and shows us how we can become alive from our own spiritual deadness. Okay? So the first thing we know from the story, right there in the first sentence, is that there was a man who was sick by the name of Lazarus. So take out Lazarus's name and put your name in that sentence. In my case, I would say, there was a man who was sick by the name of Elijah. And I'm saying this because the reality is we're all sick. Okay, sin is a sickness, obviously not a physical one, but a spiritual one. And who among us here isn't sick with sin? So God created us to be incorruptible, holy, full of life, eternal. He created us to be very good, right? In every way possible to reflect who He is. So this is who we are supposed to be. This is what health looks like. And anything outside of being the way God created us to be is not healthy. And what's not healthy can only be described as sickness. So for example, when our bodies are not healthy, we know that because clearly it's not functioning the way it's supposed to be, right? Something is clearly off, be it my temperature, my hands, my foot, my eye, whatever it is, something just is not right with what a normal function of my body or the body part should be. So the recognition of my own sickness is because I know what a healthy body is supposed to look like. So when it comes to my own spiritual life, do I know what that's supposed to look like or not? I'm asking this because a lot of times we don't consider ourselves sick because my point of comparison is other people around me. Okay, so I look at somebody else and feel good about myself and say, well, actually, compared to this person, I'm not sick. But that's the issue, right? That's the issue, is that we can't compare ourselves to other people. We compare ourselves to what a healthy person looks like. And that can only be Christ. That can only be Christ. So now, when I look at Christ as the health that I'm supposed to have, then I'll see myself as sick because I know that I'm not that healthy, right, compared to Christ. So despite how righteous, holy, amazing, to the point that I'm dripping oil, okay, I'm still nowhere near Christ. Okay? He is the standard. He's the standard. As C.S. Lewis says, a man does not call a line crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line. So do I have an idea of what that straight line looks like or not? If I see Christ as that straight line, then I will always, always, always see myself as that crooked line, no matter how not that crooked I might be. Okay? And the issue is that sometimes I see myself as that straight line, as that standard. So to me, everybody else's line is crooked. And that's just pride, right? That's just pride. That opens the door for judgment, for condemnation, for self-justification, and so on. It just makes my sickness actually worse. We don't often realize how serious our own sickness is because I either take my eyes off of Christ or because I'm consumed with other people's sicknesses that I forget my own. Okay? And that's a dangerous place to be because sickness that's left untreated eventually brings death, which is exactly what happened with Lazarus. He died because of his sickness. Okay? So when we don't realize our own sickness and actually do something about it, it slowly and quietly progresses into something more serious. If we just sit there and leave our sickness unaddressed or make excuses for it or compare it to the sickness of others, then it doesn't stay neutral. It starts to spread and kind of kill us from within. It starts to take away our hope a little bit. Our hearts grow colder. We become more resentful and angry, less forgiving of other people, less loving, less everything that Christ is, what health is supposed to look like, what a straight line is supposed to look like. That's the type of death that untreated sin brings. It might not be always obvious, because it's subtle and it's buried, that before we know it, if we're not careful, we don't even realize that we're spiritually dead. And I know that sounds scary and a little hopeless, but it isn't, right? Because what does Christ do next with Lazarus? He goes to him, which is exactly what Christ does with us. So St. Athanasius, in his book on the Incarnation, he says that the human being turned away from what is eternal and good. He became corrupted and tended towards not existing. So the Savior came in order to restore the soul as a physician does to heal the sick. So this was the human condition since the fall. And frankly speaking, not too much changed since then. We still turn away from the eternal and the good. And we corrupt ourselves all the time with our own sins. But just as Christ came to restore it before, he continually does so with us every single day. He sees us and he groans and weeps over our sins, over the spiritual deadness that he sees is within us. His love for us is too real, and as a loving father, he doesn't want to see us sick, right? Let alone spiritually dead. Because we haven't repented and turned back to him. Like, how many of us who have kids like to see when our kids get sick? Nobody, right? We even tell them, like, inshallah nabda'ilak, right? Or I wish it was me instead of you. So if we do that with our kids, how much more does actually Christ do that with us when he sees our spiritual sickness and unrepented sin? He wants to heal. He wants to bring life. But in order for him to do what seems impossible to me, I need to do one thing. I need to roll away the stone that I've sealed on the tomb of my heart. In order for him to bring life to the deadness that my sin has caused me, in order for him to bring me out of the tomb that maybe my sin has put me in, in order for him to free me from the sin that has wrapped me from head to toe, then I actually have to roll the stone away. I have to open my heart. He can't do his part if I don't do mine. So I said it before and I'll say it again, right? So Christ will not force his way into our hearts. I have to do my part and roll the stone away from the tomb. It's a small act, but a very, very important one, because without it, the miracle doesn't happen. And that stone over my heart, it could be my fear. It could be my shame, right? It could be my guilt. It could be excuses that I make. It could be my hardness of heart. It could be my stubbornness. It could be my pride. Whatever it is, I just have to roll it away. And you might be thinking with the other people, what Martha thought during the miracle itself, when Christ said, roll the tomb, right? You could say, but it's been such a long time, Abuna, that's going to stink in there. My heart stinks with sin. And Christ will tell you, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So the question isn't whether or not he can do something, or whether or not he's willing to put up with our sin. The question is, do we believe that he actually can, and he can bring life out of me? Do you believe that he can forgive you your sin? Do you believe that he can heal your spiritual sickness or not? Do you believe that he can strengthen you against your sin or habit or way of life? Do you believe that he can bring you life out of your own spiritual deadness or not? And that belief makes all the difference in the world. The belief opens the door for you and me to say, come Lord and see. Come and see the ugly part of me. Come see the part that I'm struggling with the most. Come and see the dead part of me. Christ wants to reveal the glory of God in the darkest part of your life. He wants to bring life to the dead part of your heart. He wants to bring freedom to the part that maybe has kept you captive for such a long time. He wants to loosen that sin that has wrapped you with no way out. To him, it doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how dead you might think you are. Right? Christ can and will be able to do something about it. Why? Because he's not intimidated by my sin or your sin. Why? Because it's already been nailed to the cross. He's not ashamed of my sin or your sin because it's already been covered in his blood. He isn't put off by the smell of my sin or yours because he says, roll the stone away anyways. So he's not scared by the deadness of my heart or yours. It's nothing to him, right? He's already defeated death once and forevermore. So nothing can overcome that. That's why St. Paul says in Corinthians, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? In Ephesians, he says, But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together again in Christ. So we have victory through Christ. We have freedom through Christ. We have life through Christ. So what are we waiting for? The only thing that could actually stop him is if I don't roll the stone away. So do that. Right? Give him that chance. Expose your sin to him. Offer your deadness to him. Let him into the part of your heart where you've kept closed off for many years. Let him into the habits that you think you'd never actually break. Let him into the shame that you swore you'd never, ever speak about. Because he's already standing in the tomb, calling you by name the way he called Lazarus. He's just waiting for you to roll the stone. And he's not calling you by your sin, right? But by your name. Why? Because you are his, and nothing can ever change that. And his voice isn't a voice that's filled with condemnation or judgment or anger, but it's a voice that's actually filled with love that says, come forth. I'm standing right outside here by you. I'm your Lord, and you are the work of my hands. I will give you strength to fight this. My sweet fragrance makes the stench of your sin go away. Don't be scared or discouraged or hopeless or in despair, because I am with you. So come forth. Come forth. So he wants you out of the grave. He wants you free. He wants you healthy. He wants you alive. But he's waiting for you to roll the stone. Okay? So do it, right? It's as simple as that. Right? Open your heart to him. Let him speak life into what maybe you thought was long dead. And you'll see just what he says. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And the glory of God is life. It's a complete transformation. Once the stone was rolled away, life came out of that tomb. What once was impossible was made possible. The eyes that were shut because of death saw life. The head was moving because it became functional again and actually worshipped Christ. The ears of Lazarus, which had been forever closed, opened again and heard the voice of Christ calling. The nose that had no breath in it smelled the fragrance of Christ once more. The tongue which stopped speaking forever spoke again with Christ. The feet that were bound together were loosed and followed Christ. The heart that stopped beating started beating for Christ once more. The mind of Lazarus that was once dead as to not think, know, or understand became alive and knew Christ again. Every part of Lazarus became alive again. And this is exactly the type of transformation that can happen in my life and yours when I roll the stone away from my heart and let Christ bring me to life. My eyes that have maybe been struggling with lust can be pure again. My head that has been struggling with thoughts of worries, fear, and negativity can find peace again. My ears that have been struggling with hearing gossip or other people's opinion about me can only listen to the voice of the truth, which is his voice. My nose that I've trained to smell other people's sin can now actually breathe in the fragrance of Christ. My tongue that I use for lying, gossiping, judging, cursing, what have you, can now praise him and give life to others. My feet that I've been using to walk in the wrong direction can now follow Christ. My heart that was once maybe hard, numb, or angry can now beat with love for him and for others around me. My mind that was once conformed to the world can be renewed and transformed to align with the mind of Christ. So every part of Lazarus became alive again, and in the same way, every part of me can become alive again, but it starts when I stop hiding behind the stone and give him a chance to work in my life. So today, Christ is inviting us to roll the stone away, to let him speak, to let him raise us. And when we do that, we won't be just walking out of that tomb, just breathing, but actually living the way he intended us for us to live, fully alive. My final note that I can only leave you with today is this. Notice how Christ, after raising Lazarus, asked others to loosen him from the grave clothes. Could Christ have loosed Lazarus himself? Absolutely. Right? He raised him from the dead by just speaking. He says, come forth. So he probably could have snapped his fingers and the grave clothes would have just fallen off. Or he could have easily told, hey Lazarus, just loosen yourself. You're alive now. But he didn't. He told others to. So in the same way he told others in that miracle, he told the disciples themselves, if you loose or bind the sins of others, then I will also do likewise. So he gave authority to the disciples, meaning the church, meaning the priests, to loosen all those who are bound by sin. This is how Christ himself organized it. It's not something that the church made up over time or anything like that. So what I'm trying to say is that part of you being alive is having a father in confession in your life to help loosen you from that sin. Yes, you need to repent on your own. That's rolling the stone away. And Christ is the one who brings us to life. That's the work of Christ. But I think the miracle would have been incomplete if it said Lazarus walked around still tied up in grave clothes. People would have wondered, why is he walking like this? But he didn't. He had somebody help untie him because Christ commanded it. So unless you want to walk around with grave clothes all over you after rolling the stone, do yourself a favor and talk to your father in confession. And let him put the finishing touches on setting you free, on what Christ already started. And if you don't have one, a father confession, get one. They're not that hard to find, I promise you. So if you don't believe in confession, then maybe that's the stone that needs to be rolled away. Okay? Because it's not about what you and I think. It's about what Christ, who is the truth, says. Christianity is not an open buffet where I take what I like and I skip what I don't like. Because that's how we treat it sometimes. But it's not that. It's an objective truth because it's based on who Christ is. And he's the truth. So don't stop halfway through the miracle that Christ is trying to accomplish in your life. Don't walk around alive but still tied up. Roll the stone away. Let Christ raise you. Then go to your father confession and let him loosen you. And finish the good work that Christ already started in you. So Lazarus came out of the tomb, but he didn't walk out alone. And neither should any of us, myself included. So don't let the transformation that Christ can do in your life hinge on simply letting Abuna loose you or me from what's been tying us down, whether it's big or small. So make sure you finish the job. That's on you too. And glory be to God forever.